Have you ever had a Canada goose hiss at you? Almost sounded like that one was barking a little bit. Have you ever had the displeasure of walking on grass where the geese congregate? Are there too many Canada geese in your community? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, May the 18th. A plan to reduce the number of Canada geese in the city of Delafield this spring is running into some international opposition. Delafield is planning a roundup, capturing the geese, sending them to slaughter, with the end result being sent to food pantries. There is an online petition underway to try to stop the roundup, but city officials say they won't be deterred. Delafield isn't the only community dealing with the problems associated with too many Canada geese. So we thought we would talk about those problems and possible solutions with a wildlife expert, and we welcome your questions and your concerns and perhaps your run-ins with Canada geese at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Stan Temple, Professor Emeritus of Conservation, Forest, and Wildlife Ecology and Environmental Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning.
Hi, Joy.
Happy spring to you.
It is spring, although it doesn't feel like it this morning.
No, it doesn't. I haven't been out and about on campus, but there is an area on campus where a lot of Canada geese around this time of year are usually strutting around with their babies. Is it that time of year right now?
It's very close. Mm-hmm. They should be hatching in numbers any time now. But you're right. Campuses, golf courses, parks are places where Canada geese are just a regular feature of the landscape these days.
And they are very darling to see, the little goslings with their mom and dad, I guess. And I've been close by where I'm not sure if it's the male or the female, will come after you and hiss, and they want to protect those babies.
These urban geese are certainly not afraid of people. They've habituated to the presence of people, so if they feel that their brood is being threatened, they definitely will be aggressive towards you. And the fact that they are such good parents is actually a part of the problem. The Canada goose population, the resident Canada goose population here in Wisconsin, has been increasing at a rate of over 10% a year. So they have really been increasing in numbers, and over the last decade or so, they've reached an abundance where people are really starting to notice that there are a lot of geese around and mm-hmm. causing a lot of conflicts.
Yeah, what are some of those problems and conflicts?
Well, Canada geese aren't unique, of course. We might just sort of in general talk about overabundant wildlife, and mm-hmm. I think Canada geese have certainly fallen into this category. People tend to get upset about the abundance of a species when it starts to cause conflicts. And the conflicts fall into generally four areas. People get upset when a wild species is threatening their life or livelihood. And certainly Canada geese can actually fall into that category because an accumulation of their droppings and beaches and other small bodies of water can lead to coliform bacteria that can cause people to get sick. Canada geese also threaten people's livelihood. The abundance of them are a problem now for farmers, that they are doing crop damage. We also tend to get upset when a species becomes so abundant that it's affecting a favored species. A species that we like being threatened by a species that we don't like often causes us to get upset about the one that we don't like. Canada geese haven't quite fallen into that category yet. We still like Canada geese. They're still sort of an iconic species. There are occasions when we get upset when a species, we could almost say, is too abundant for its own good, where we can see that the high density of animals is causing the animals to become sick, perhaps to starve. We've seen situations like that with Wisconsin, with deer populations and so forth, where their numbers have really gotten to the point where they're too abundant for their own good. And finally, there are situations where we get upset about overabundance when it's causing ecological damage, when a species has become so abundant that it's disrupting the ecosystem in which it lives. Certainly white-tailed deer have reached that point, and Canada geese are coming very close. They are actually doing some damage to shoreline vegetation, causing ecological problems in that way. But generally, these issues of overabundance often are issues of perception. They are people thinking that the species is too abundant, not necessarily that the species is really too abundant in a biological sense. And certainly Canada geese fall into the category of a perception of a problem. They aren't really any more abundant than they probably should be, but they are perceived to be a problem because of the local densities that occur in places where they come into contact with people. If it weren't for that coincidence of geese and people coming together, we would probably be happy to have a growing population of geese in the state.
And the issue that prompted this program in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week, just a day or two ago, we saw an article on what is going on in the city of Delafield, where city officials are planning what they call a roundup, where I guess they round up a number of these geese and send them off to be processed into food, and that will be sent to food pantries. This roundup has caused there have been some local people, but actually people all over the world signing a petition online saying don't destroy the Canada geese in Delafield. First of all, this roundup solution is that what many communities do?
Well, there is actually quite a few possible approaches to dealing with these local abundances of Canada geese. Obviously, one approach is to simply reduce the numbers of birds. And the two ways of doing that, one is removing them. Basically, the roundup approach, which is to catch them during the summer when they're molting and can't fly, and euthanize the animals and use them for food. In some cases, they can be removed by hunting if it's in a situation where firearms could be used. The other approach that is often used focuses on reproduction and trying to find Canada goose nests and destroying the eggs using a number of techniques that would prevent the eggs from hatching. Most of the other techniques, though, don't necessarily involve absolutely reducing the number of geese. Instead, it depends on sort of moving the geese around, getting them to abandon places where they come into conflict with people. Canada geese, like most species, are very habitat-specific, and if you create ideal habitat, if you build it, they will come. On the other hand, if you make the habitat undesirable for them, they're likely to leave. And there are a number of habitat modifications that could discourage geese from particular places. There are other approaches, building barriers to keep the geese out. Of course, when they're on land, they generally walk. So fencing of various types or screening of vegetation and shrubs can keep them out of an area. And there's a whole class of actions that generally are called repellents, things that would behaviorally scare the geese, essentially, or make the area undesirable for them. Some of it can be sound-related. Loud noises will scare them. Some of it can be actual threats, using trained herding dogs to chase them, putting up models of predators. Some of them can be chemical, applying chemicals to the lawns generally that they like to graze on that make the grass distasteful. A whole host of different approaches. Most communities have faced the issue of which approach are we going to use, and most of them end up saying, well, we're going to use whatever is most effective and cost efficient. And of the approaches that I have just mentioned, often that means the removal of geese ends up being the preferred choice, but certainly not the most popular.
No, and we'll talk more about the problems and possible solutions when it comes to the Canada geese that are causing some problems in many communities in Wisconsin. And we welcome your questions for our guest, Stan Temple, who is a professor emeritus of conservation, forest, and wildlife ecology and environmental studies at UW-Madison. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be cloudy with morning showers in eastern Wisconsin. There is a chance of rain elsewhere, except for far western Wisconsin. Highs today will be in the upper 50s in the east to the upper 60s in the west. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Some cities and suburbs in Wisconsin are finding Canada geese to be a nuisance, and they're working on solutions, including some controversial ones, including killing the geese. And we are talking with a wildlife expert about Wisconsin's goose population and what can be done about the problems associated with the overpopulation in some regions. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. And we do have some callers, but Stan Temple, before we go to the phones, do indeed we have more geese in Wisconsin than we used to, and why is that?
Well, that's a question that has a long-term answer. Historically, we had a resident population of geese in Wisconsin, geese that stayed here year-round.
They do not migrate
elsewhere. They don't migrate out. We also have, of course, large populations of geese that move through in the spring and fall. The resident population was depleted during the late 19th century and early 20th century. And, in fact, by the 1960s and 1970s, there were even arguments that it should be listed as an endangered species.
Really?
They've undergone a remarkable recovery since then, aided by wildlife biologists who wanted to see them back, who did all kinds of things to sort of help them recover. But a little bit of a good thing can get out of hand, and indeed what's happened with the recovery of our resident geese, often called the giant Canada goose. These resident geese have not only increased in numbers, but they've decided that they like some very close proximity to people. We created ideal habitats for them in parks and golf courses and agricultural areas, and often these geese will congregate in places that people like to congregate, causing the conflicts.
You know, I used to live in Green Bay, and this was a good more than 25 years ago, and visited the Bay Beach Wildlife Sanctuary. And back then, there were so many of these the Canada geese there that you could feed them. You know, it was you'd feed them, and families would feed them, and there were so many of them. They practically surrounded you, and of course, very, 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 very messy. I can only imagine what it's like today. Is it even worse?
it is still a problem. Just about every community in Wisconsin has some conflicts with Canada geese, and you pointed out another mm-hmm. aspect of the problem, and that is that people, as the geese were starting to recover, people were glad to see them back and got into the habit of feeding them, often in very public places like parks. And, of course, that contributed to the increase in the population. It encouraged geese to continue to come to those places where they come into conflict with people.
Well, let's take some calls. And our first caller is Josie in Sheboygan. Hi, Josie.
Yes, good morning. I wish you had a guest that was on the side of the geese, instead of just someone that sounds like he's...
No, he's telling us what some communities are doing. But so what is it that you would like to see happen, Josie?
I would like to see them left alone. I'm just so tired. I'm 66 years old, and that's our answer to everything. We've depleted almost to the point of extinction the natural predators that were in the area. Humans are everywhere. And then they're surprised when some wildlife, they have nowhere else to go. And the geese have every right to be where they are. And they, you know, I'm just so sick of the persecution and exploitation of animals. They have no voice. They can't vote. They don't carry telescopic lens guns to protect themselves. It's horrendous. I'm appalled at the cruelty of human beings towards other living creatures. No wonder the world, the Earth, is in such bad shape.
Josie, thank you. I mean, I appreciate the call and the passion. You don't do you not have this issue in Sheboygan, where at a park or somewhere else there are so many that, you know, people are worried about the health issue because of the droppings, that sort of thing?
Well, I haven't heard anything, but I'm sure that they're all going to get in on the bandwagon of, oh, let's kill them. That's the most efficient way to get rid of the problem. Yeah. You know, we're going to have almost 7 billion people on this earth, you know, and we take all the livable spaces. So what are they supposed to do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Josie's not alone. A lot of people are very upset when they hear about the killing of these geese because they happen to be in a city park.
Well, the controversy does come in on two levels. At a very fundamental level, we have too many Canada geese because of human activities. We essentially created the problem. The Canada geese, as the caller said, the Canada geese are just responding to an amazing ecological opportunity that we have created for them, and they're taking advantage of it. The fact that they come into conflict with people, though, then sets up the issue of whether a problem that we've created we should solve. And the solution to the problem, as I laid out in the opening statements, doesn't always involve killing the animals. That's just one of many different approaches. Unfortunately, dealing with the problem often requires the expenditure of time and money, and is often, in the case of municipal governments, it's left to them to find the means to do it. And unfortunately, if you are opposed to the killing of problem animals, often the most economically efficient way to deal with the problem is to remove them. It's not to say that it's necessarily the best solution, but it certainly is attractive if you're worried about your city budget.
Yeah, and one local resident in Delafield, who I guess was involved in starting this petition, does think that city officials are jumping the gun, so to speak, in going to this roundup method, hoping that there could be more non-lethal methods to control the geese. And those methods do exist. Are they successful? Those, you know, the dealing with the eggs or putting up a statue of a coyote.
All of those non-lethal approaches can be effective. The issue is that they are all very labor-intensive and generally fairly expensive. And, of course, if you are worried about the true abundance of Canada geese, none of those non-lethal approaches do anything to reduce the absolute numbers. In fact, usually what they do is move the problem from one spot to another. You can certainly use any one of those non-lethal approaches to get the geese off of a golf course or a city park, but they're going to move somewhere else and probably cause a problem for someone else.
Our next caller is Dwayne in Hayward. Hello, Dwayne.
Yes, good morning. The cheapest and easiest way is to liberalize hunting and allow the sportsmen to take these geese by non-traditional means, air rifles, bows and arrows inside the city limits. It would be very cost-effective. These people would do it for free. The geese would be utilized. They'd be eaten. A lot of people like roast geese. The object is to remove the geese. Do it for free.
Yeah. Is that something city or state officials would consider?
Well, it certainly is when the situation is workable. Unfortunately, most recreational hunting of geese involves firearms, which is not going to be workable generally in urban areas. But the caller makes a point that certainly in terms of economics, allowing hunters to take Canada geese does become the most economically favorable way of reducing the overall numbers. And indeed, state wildlife officials and federal officials have been trying to make adjustments to the traditional goose hunting season so that a larger portion of the goose harvest comes early in the season, when the only geese that are around Wisconsin are the resident geese, not the very large migratory populations coming out of Canada. So they are using recreational hunting as a way to reduce the overall abundance in the state.
Seems to me, and we only have about a minute or a little more than that before a news break, that the city of Madison, or at least the area around the airport in Dane County, had an issue with too many Canada geese, and they were concerned about planes. And, of course, that there's famous, very famous crashes due to geese flying into engines. Are you aware, was there some sharpshooting going on to get rid of the population near the airport?
Well, when geese congregate near airports, you definitely have a threat to human life. Mm-hmm. And the federal government has taken a fairly aggressive position requiring municipalities to reduce populations of geese when they're within the approach patterns for their airports. And that certainly was the case with Madison and Warner Park. And as is always, I think, most appropriately, the community is asked to come up with a solution. It won't be popular with everyone, but at least the community is involved. And in Madison, Wisconsin, at least, the park board has made a series of recommendations that are going now to the Common Council.
So that has not been resolved yet. We will we'll talk more about the issues involved with too many Canada geese in some Wisconsin communities and what they're trying to do about that. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the giant Canada goose this hour, which is presenting a giant problem in some places in Wisconsin. There are so many of them congregating in some places in Wisconsin communities that city and city officials are trying to figure out how to reduce the populations of Canada geese. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 6:37 on this Wednesday, May the 18th. We are talking about Wisconsin's Canada goose population, how some communities are running into opposition with efforts to reduce their numbers. Cities like Delafield planning a roundup, capturing the geese and euthanizing them, and then ending up sending them to food pantries. There is an online petition underway to try to stop this roundup, and that's what prompted this program. Many other communities facing similar problems. We are talking with Stan Temple, Professor Emeritus of Conservation, Forest, and Wildlife Ecology and Environmental Studies at UW-Madison. And we have many, many callers, Stan Temple, but let's talk a little bit about... If these geese are causing so many problems, pooping all over, causing some health problems, potentially life-threatening health problems, possibly flying into airplane engines, causing catastrophes, why is there so much opposition to reducing their numbers?
Well, it seems that almost every time there's an issue of overabundant wildlife, a controversy emerges. And the controversy usually boils down to two camps. One group of individuals who are very focused and concerned about the welfare of individual animals. And they are especially opposed to any methods of control that affect the welfare of the individual. Certainly mortality, killing the animals, using reproductive control methods, frightening the animals is often unacceptable to them. The other camp is often much more focused on the environment and species and populations, pointing out that animals die in the best of all worlds, and as long as we're not threatening the population or the species, as long as we're doing something that's generally beneficial to the environment, then we should probably take the responsibility for solving the problem, and they don't have a particular issue if that solution involves lethal approaches. And it works out the same whether it's overabundant deer, overabundant geese, even overabundant. It's hard to believe we're talking about wolves being overabundant, but even the issue of wolves or cormorants. We've got a whole host of species in Wisconsin that have crossed this threshold where they're causing grief for some segment of society, and a controversy erupts over what to do.
Yeah, yeah. And it certainly depends on, for instance, I don't want to veer too much off to the wolf, but people perhaps in southern Wisconsin who are not dealing with the wolf on a day-to-day basis as people in far northern Wisconsin are dealing with this, you know, would have a totally different attitude about what to do about an overabundance of wolves.
That's very true. And as I pointed out in the introductory statements, often the perception of overabundance is a very localized issue.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not even a part of the state. Sometimes it's just a neighborhood-to-neighborhood type of issue.
Let's go to the phones, and Sue in Oneida is with us. Hello, Sue.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd just like to say that I'm all for the harvesting of excess animals, and especially if we can use it to help supply food to human people. And, you know, like you've said many times, an overabundance causes problems. I love animals. I love to see the birds flying. I love to see the deer and that. But I don't like an overabundance because of the problems that they cause. And that I just wanted to put in my two cents in that direction.
Reaction?
I think that's very typical. People who want to see overabundant animals controlled are not people that hate animals. As the caller, people can love animals and still want to see their numbers controlled.
Samantha and Lafarge sent this email. Has anyone asked food pantry recipients how likely they will be to eat Canada geese? Much food pantry food goes to waste because recipients do not know how to prepare it or do not like it. Any idea, Stan Temple, if these geese are utilized?
Geese are very tasty. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine anyone would turn up their nose at a meal of cooked goose. It's no more difficult to cook a goose than it is to cook a chicken or a turkey.
Yeah, I did read that the geese that are processed through one of these roundups are checked for like PCBs and whatever before they are shipped off to pantries.
I think that's true because at least in some areas, especially where there are industrial effluents, there could be a problem of contamination, and you don't want to pass that on to a food pantry.
But these roundups are fairly common, as far as you know, in Wisconsin or other states.
Well, they certainly are on the table anytime the issue of overabundant geese comes up. But again, it's up to the community. It's a community by community decision. There are certainly federal laws that override the local issue, but basically they leave it up to the community to decide what to do. So what you find, of course, is a checkerboard across the landscape of some communities that go with reducing the abundance and others that go with non-lethal type of approaches, depending on the community's views.
Our next caller is Dave in Wisconsin Dells. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, this is Dave. Yeah, so they had this problem out in Ohio here a couple of years ago, and they went out there and just oiled the eggs.
Right, oiling the eggs. Talk a little bit about that, Stan Temple. Some communities are doing this oiling of the eggs.
Right, and that certainly is one of the approaches. The issue of treating the eggs, though, is very labor-intensive and surprisingly expensive. The experience back east, Ohio was certainly one of the states, it averaged out that it cost about $10 an egg to do the treatment of Canada goose clutches. So when you start dealing with, you know, hundreds of nesting pairs of geese and thousands of eggs, that adds up very quickly to a cost. But it is effective in reducing the growth of the population. It's not going to reduce the abundance very quickly. Canada geese can live for 10 to 20 years, so it takes a long time for that effect on reproduction to actually turn into a reduction in the overall population.
Yeah. One city official in Delafield is saying that they did try some other non-lethal methods. It looks like some trying to scare them away kind of methods, placing fake swans on the water. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Canada geese don't like swans.
Well, it goes the other way around. Swans don't like Canada geese, and Canada geese know that if they go into a swan's territory, they're going to get chased.
Oh.
So they will stay away.
All right. And it says that the city, with permission from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, is trying egg oiling, coating the eggs with corn oil to prevent the egg from hatching, mm-hmm. and the Roundup. Mm-hmm. So they're doing both.
They're doing both, right. As I said, most communities will end up using a sort of multi-pronged approach, using essentially all of the techniques that we've talked about earlier. And indeed, many communities find that they use what we often call an adaptive management technique. They sort of try everything and see what works best for them and then go with that after they've had the experience.
Mm-hmm. Reagan on Facebook writes, I'm surprised they haven't tried goose dogs. I thought that was a pretty well-accepted mm-hmm. method of goose population control.
It works on a very local scale. You can certainly hire someone with a herding dog to chase geese away. The problem, of course, is that the problem goes away from that spot and goes somewhere else. It just moves the geese from one spot to another. But it certainly can be very effective on golf courses. In fact, it's quite commonly used on golf courses and in some cases on public parks, which are small, localized areas where this type of approach works, and the cost might be acceptable to the managers of those properties.
Mm-hmm. So the dog could scare the geese off of the golf course, but then they would maybe just go to the park.
Right.
Yeah. Our next caller is John in Sturgeon Bay. Hello, John.
Hi, good morning. You know, I grew up in Milwaukee, and it was a big deal for us to take a trip in the 60s, in the 70s. Out to Horicon Marsh and watch the geese, and we built a home up on the bay in 98, and the first, you know, white pelicans we saw, we were so excited about them, and pretty soon, you know, they've overtaken some of the islands and the points, and they're almost getting to be a nuisance. And I think the difference is with geese, and I'm a sportsman and I hunt, and maybe it's much like the wolf, is that there's just still something about geese, you know, in the fall, and, you know, the changing of the seasons, and you hear them full moon, and you hear them flying overhead, you know, and at night, and I just think there's kind of two different looks at geese, and I think when we get to the point of, you know, having to manage them in these local parks and so forth, I mean, personally, you know, I just don't look at those geese as the same geese, and so I don't know, it's just the way I think about it, so.
Yeah. Well, in fact, they aren't the same geese. As we said earlier, there are two populations of geese in Wisconsin, the resident geese, which are the problem, the geese that everyone gets so excited about when they migrate through in the spring and the fall and when they congregate at Horicon, those are Canadian Canada geese. They're coming out of the high Arctic and simply migrating through Wisconsin. But the caller is absolutely right. Canada geese have a special place in people's hearts, and that certainly aggravates the tensions over what to do about them. It's always remarkable to me that when these overabundance issues involve a favored species, we tend to see a big controversy. When it's a despised species that becomes overabundant, there never seems to be a controversy. There are no groups circulating petitions about people killing house mice and Norway rats in their house. No one's circulating petitions when towns decide to reduce pigeon and starling and house sparrow populations. These are generally species that we don't like, and no one seems to get exercised when their numbers are controlled.
Why are the resident Canada geese residents? Why don't they join their migrating brothers and sisters?
Well, as I said, these were the geese that were here originally before European settlement, and the climate in Wisconsin is pretty much right on the edge of what geese can tolerate over the winter. But our giant Canada geese do very well as long as they can find some open water and some forage. They do just fine over the winter, so no reason that they shouldn't be here. There are 11 different subspecies of Canada geese around the country that have different behaviors, appear slightly different in size and coloration and all, and each of them has adapted to the local conditions. And certainly the giant Canada geese is well adapted to the upper Midwest.
We're talking with Stan Temple. He's a professor emeritus of conservation, forest and wildlife ecology, and environmental studies at UW-Madison. We're talking about the problem of too many Canada geese in some Wisconsin communities, many Wisconsin communities, and the possible solutions that those communities are employing to reduce the population of Canada geese. What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 7 o'clock, it's our big question, and the big question debate today is whether or not tax hikes should be on or off the table as Congress deals with the nation's debt crisis. Tax hikes on or off the table, the big question after 7. And our next caller, as we talk about Canadian geese in Wisconsin, Jim in West Bend. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Your guest just kind of hit on it. The love affair, whatever we want to call it, that some people have with certain species. When you mentioned the mice and rats, you have to look at this in context. If a certain animal becomes a nuisance where disease incidences are raised, it's probably not healthy for them to be in oversupply. I just wonder if the same people that are all concerned about a way of managing geese would feel if the same people that have that geese problem said, well, let's find a way to humanely round up all the mice and rats that might be in our neighborhood and put them in your yard or in your house. It's context. And if there's no predators, there's no way of keeping things in checks and balances, and sometimes things have to be done. If you're uncomfortable with how the management is done, then don't look at it, don't watch it, but understand that that's part of the way things are. And if you believe in that, people that believe in the evolutionary concept should understand that some species rule over others, and I guess man is the top ruling species. If that's what they believe.
Stan Temple.
Well, a number of points there. He's absolutely right about the distinctions that we make between our favored species and our despised species. But the issue of what to do about overabundance is terribly tangled with all kinds of legal and emotional and economic issues. And that's why we have generally decided the solutions to these problems of local overabundance should be settled by the community. The community should have a chance to participate in the debate about how they want to see the problem resolved. And we just have to accept the fact that whatever the solution is, there are going to be people who are unhappy with it. We are just rarely, if ever, of one mind about what to do about problems of animal overabundance. It's a fact of life, one that wildlife managers unfortunately have to deal with every day. They realize that no matter what they do, someone is going to be darned upset about what they're doing. And I'm not sure how we get around that issue. I think it'll be with us, and just the same way we debate taxes, we often end up being very polarized on these issues.
Wendy on Facebook writes, Geese waste is a big problem now, but it's not as bad as the gulls in the summer that defecate all over the docks and boats. So, I mean, I suppose that is a problem, but is that a similar issue with the seagulls?
Absolutely mm-hmm. parallel. Some of the same controversies have erupted in sort of coastal communities that are near large bodies of water about what to do with an overabundance of gulls. Once again, we've created an ideal situation for gulls. Their numbers have exploded, and they are causing all kinds of problems, not only the problems of the inconvenience of them pooping on the dock, but problems.
Well, they're hanging out in supermarket or parking lots.
Exactly.
And even far away from big bodies of water, it seems.
Yeah.
Emily in Galesville is with us. Hello, Emily.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I was just wondering about the correlation between the lack of wetlands and how we've taken them away with building sites and the geese population, and if we would create more wetlands, if that would help solve the problem, get back to restoring them.
Would that help solve the problem?
Well, we've certainly experienced a loss of wetlands in Wisconsin, but the issue of Canada geese's problems is not totally related to the destruction, loss of natural wetlands. Geese have two requirements. They need a body of water, and they need nearby areas where they can graze. And with many of our natural wetlands in the state, they're not actually utilized by geese because the water is there, but the ideal feeding areas aren't nearby. We just happen in urban areas to have created this, at least from the goose perspective, this marvelous coincidence of water with a nice beach that they can walk ashore and within a few hundred feet be on a often fertilized, mowed lawn, which provides ideal foraging for them.
Thank you, Emily. Harv in Washburn, go ahead.
Yeah, my comment was similar to your guest's last comment. The solution to the geese is to quit feeding them. And in these parks and whatnot, we give them an ideal situation. We got a guy going through there mowing the lawn every 4 hours, creating grass clippings for them that they feed on.
Huh. You know, I know that the city of Delafield did pass a don't feed the geese ordinance.
Those ordinances against feeding geese are in place in I would say, the majority of communities. But the caller also suggests one of the non-lethal approaches, which is habitat modification, to simply make the spot undesirable for geese. Unfortunately, some of the things that make it undesirable for geese also make it less desirable for people, and we don't want to see those changes take place. I know here in Madison, you know, the idea that city parks would not be mowed, that the grass would be allowed to sort of go rank and wild, you would probably get more complaints from people about that than you're getting about geese, even though it might solve the goose problem.
Well, I wish we had more time. We have just a minute to go, and we talked just before we started about how when you are on the program, there's usually some big controversy involving wildlife. This is a wonderful time of year in Wisconsin, spring, to enjoy the outdoors and wildlife, isn't it?
It is. It's a good time to celebrate wildlife. This last weekend was International Migratory Bird Day, and the last couple of weeks, of course, is the time when all of our migratory birds coming from Central America and South America are starting to arrive. And it is a wonderful time to be out and appreciate wildlife and not necessarily have to worry about the controversies.
Well, we appreciate you coming in and talking with us. Stan Temple, Professor Emeritus of Conservation, Forest and Wildlife Ecology and Environmental Studies at UW-Madison. Thanks to Rob Ferret, to Bill Martins, and to Chris Molina for producing the program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you.